This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Pharrell, chilling the most with the gentleman, Jerry, my big man. Look who he is. Hey, tell him. Cooney's in here rocking it, trying to get me to do the steps.
Wow, I'm talking about getting it right, bro. And listen,
so
you
how
got...
many times do you think I've done the steps?
Well, from talking to you,
you never once came out of retirement in the 31 years.
Yeah, I did.
Never slept.
Someone told me when I had 3 months, you better be careful because when you get 5 or 6 months, you're going to drink again. I said, you're crazy. I was going to 2 meetings a day, right? 5 or 6 months, I went out for 2 months, the worst thing ever happened to me.
Right.
And a guy told me, Jack B from New York, one of my bodyguards, I stopped at a pancake house. When they said, Jerry, listen, I have 3 years today. You never have to drink again. That was April 21st, 1988. I went to work. I got to look at those things that were bothering me. The shadows, the skeletons I had, I got them out in the sunlight, looked at them, and made them go away.
So did you, it really is incredible, but when you partied, when you drank, because I drank like a British sailor.
Can I say something?
I mean, to tell you, like, I honestly, there's people telling stories. Is that that damn train again rolling through here to yell? What is that, is that the 7 train out to Queens? Is that the most painful thing in the world? That damn train. When you party, what were you like?
I got a feeling I was a little bit like you. Probably worse, but I had a great time. Listen, it was, we moved around, traveled the world, had a lot of laughs, kissed the girls, hugged the babies. We had a great life. It was a great life. I just ran away from me. The night I knocked out Ken Norton in 54 seconds was the night my career really ended. That night I started messing around with recreational drugs and started drinking heavily. And 13 months later, I fought Holmes.
Recreational drugs as in Sheba.
Whatever it was, it was no good. It was no good. It was all bad. It made me want to keep the blinds
but
down.
It was fun,
no
man.
Sunlight. Yeah. Darkness.
A fed swinging from ropes.
I don't know about that. I was in that.
I was at that level.
Oh, man. Well, you were bad then. But listen.
I had them. They were on the roof. They were underground.
But you were just thinking. You were thinking it.
Paranoid. The whole deal was awful. So I did it when my son was born. I quit drinking, and I had drank for 30 years and smoked for 30 years, and as you like to say, recreationally worked out.
Recreationally wrecked your life.
Yeah, so I stopped when I had my son.
Yep.
Because one day he said, so he had already been alive. He was a little kid. He was like 5 or 6, and he goes, my wife said, what are you going to do today? And then he was walking out with her, and he goes, I'm going to sit on the couch all day and watch football and drink like he always does. And that was the last day I ever drank.
Isn't that a great feeling, for me?
I came out of retirement in the Caribbean one day when I got fired from TV, and my agent said I was going to get fired from radio the same week. And I went Heineken, and I drank about 12 of them in about 15 minutes.
Wow.
And then I hit the rum. And then it was a 2-year slide down the mountain, and I got back on the horse and never drank again.
Yeah, you know what? I went out back out to test the waters again for 2 months, found that it didn't get any better, and I was just
never does.
Losing my life. And I finally got a hold, and someone who helped me, showed me the way, and it's been a gift. I guess.
So how do you, let me ask you, Jerry, how do you, because when I go out, right, so I go out all the time with all these drunks, and they just party and wail and drinking tequila and their beers and everything, and I'm out with them, and I don't want to sit there and watch them drink. And I had these fights and things of this nature, and I'm sitting there drinking water and ginger ale till I got a headache, so much sugar. What do you do in those circumstances when everybody around you is getting sauced and you're sitting there drinking water and tea?
Let me tell you something.
Does that fem you out a little? Because it bothers me.
Well, when you have a good foundation and you work the steps, you attract a different kind of people that are not those kind of people, because that sound doesn't work for you anymore.
So you don't even want to be around them.
Let me tell you something. When I first came around these rooms, what I was attracted to was a crazy person. They were beautiful, looked pretty. When the dust settled, it was going nuts. As I grew up in the rooms and put distance between me and the alcohol, I grew up. My life changed. I wanted more. I wanted something different. I wanted to enjoy life.
I get it. I'm with you. I'm with you on all of that. But my question is, how do you deal with when you're not around all these safe harbors?
I don't.
So you're telling me you never go to these fights and everybody's drinking around you?
You just
won't associate.
I don't notice people drinking anymore. If I see someone that's sloshed and drinking too much, I grab them by the arm and say, "Listen, kid, come on. Here's the number. Give me a call. I'd like for you to come to a meeting with me." That's all.
Oh, so you're saving
help.
People.
That's our job. No, that's our job.
I know.
To help people find the direction to get back on track and have a great life.
I'm with you on that. I'm not Mr. I haven't gone out.
Looking.
Okay, Carver High. Come here. How is my saving you gone with your, he's unsavable. My boy over here, he goes out and buys the cheap beers down the street so he doesn't have to roll with the MGM 10 a can.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is what it is. You do what you can to help me out in other ways, so.
Yeah, but I've never once encouraged you to stop drinking. In fact, I encourage you to drink more.
Yeah, you wanted me to bring beers in here last night while we were doing the show.
Yeah. I wanted him to drink tequila shots till 4 in the morning. Because I knew that I'd wake up early, work out, have a nice breakfast, get some phone calls in, some meetings. I get it all done, Jerry. The drunks are always burping and rolling over for another hour.
Yeah, but you know, all the stuff you have told him through the years to help him take a look at that one day, he'll say, you know, I'm tired of this. This is not working for me anymore. I like to have a nice woman. I like to have a good life. I like to have a home.
Does he look like the kind of guy, honestly?
Well, not really.
I mean, honestly, Jerry.
No, he does.
So, let me ask you, when you wrote the book,
yeah,
and everyone started reading all that stuff, was it fulfilling for you and gratifying? Did you find joy in that you wrote the book about that as opposed to just writing about your great boxing career?
It's a great...
Does the other stuff mean more to you? It seems like it does.
Listen, it's a great story that, you know, that I fell down and got up, went about my day. Next day I got up, got dressed and walked down the street. I found the hole again and again. And finally I found a different way and I found a great life. And so the rags to riches to falling down to getting up, dusting off my pants and moving on, there's a victory there. And there's a great life plan. I have children, 3 children that have never seen me drink. I have a great wife that I love. I can't wait to go home to.
Does she not drink either?
She can drink a half a glass of wine.
No problem.
A glass of wine,
But you couldn't. Like, I can't drink.
No, I get a taste. I want the whole thing.
I drink the whole bottle of Jameson and then I go on a run. It's all bad. Let me ask you this question. So, when you, your kids never saw you drink ever, so they just think you're just the greatest, because you are the happiest, nicest guy ever that I've ever met in boxing. And do you find that shocking at all? Were you ever that nice when you were knocking people's teeth out?
Yeah, this is who I am. I really came from a very difficult background, and I struggled a lot understanding what was going on in my house. I had to hide in the basement most of my childhood. It's all in the book. And so my thing is, if I can help somebody along the path, my children, maybe they drink a little bit once in a while, I tell them about my story and what happened. And it's dangerous. If I had the disease, they might have...
Do you still go to meetings?
Of course I go. I go and share meetings and talk about life, and I give on speaking commitments. I do all the same stuff. Yeah, nothing changes. I have a great life.
And so how do you feel? You said you had back surgery the other day. Do you do that whole thing with no meds?
Not no meds. I mean, obviously I had a spine surgery, back surgery, where they had a cyst on my fourth and fifth vertebrae. They had to take it out and clean off the bone. So it's a little bit painful for a few days. But
Is that still lingering stuff from boxing?
Could be. It could be from, I work hard. I love to work around the house. You know, it's just you wear and tear. You know, not normally. I threw hooks all my life. The vertebrae's are wearing out.
How old are you now, 35?
35. I'm 31 years sober. I'm 62 years young. And I'll tell you what, I'm just starting.
I'm 54.
Beautiful, bro.
It's crazy, right? I think it's fascinating what you've been through. tell me about where did you stop? Where were you when you stopped? Like you said, you had just you laid it down or whatever. Where were you in life? Living? Where did that all happen?
Well, I mean, listen, my life never changed.
But I mean, where were you physically? What
I was
city?
I was in New York, Long Island. I was going to my office in Garden City, and I stopped at the Pancake House, which I never, I don't know why I did. This friend of mine, Jack B. from New York, was there, and he said, Jerry, sit down with me. He was a big, tough guy. He was a bodyguard of mine in my heyday. And he talked to me a little bit about, he said, I have 3 years today. I haven't had a drink in 3 years or anything in 3 years. He said, you never have to drink again. Now, I heard that 1,000 times, but I hadn't heard it like he said it. And that was April 21st, 1988. And I said, you
and
know what?
Did he become your sponsor?
For a little while he did. You know, you bounce around. I needed someone to help me really work on cleaning out the records of my past.
Stuff. Yeah. What is the fourth step? Is the one that takes the longest?
Well, you know, the
that's
first
the
step.
That's the evaluation of your miserable life.
Well, no. First step, you write out
your
autobiography. And then the fourth step, you write out about your life, your defects, and you really start to look at yourself.
It's very tough for me, Jerry. As you know, I have so few defects and so few sins.
Let me sit with you for a while, bro. Let me get with you for a little while, bro.
I've just been so perfect for so long. It's so hard for me to, like, not go to the pool and score, like, 20 chicks within an hour.
Well, you know what? Those days are over for me.
Come on, you're a liar.
And no, I'm not. I've been faithful to my wife for 27 years, and I love it.
I'm the biggest wuss ever. I've never cheated on her, ever. No girlfriend either.
Me either.
They all want me still. They all stalk me.
I can't wait to get home when I come home.
So where did you meet her when...
On the phone. I met my wife on the phone. A buddy of mine got a job at an accounting firm. My wife is a financial major. He put me on the phone with her. I said hello. I said, when we come back to New York, go to lunch. A couple months later, I came home. We went to lunch. I walked down the street that day holding her hand.
Boom.
That was it.
So let's talk about the fight. I think that Pacquiao has too much smarts, too much experience, too dangerous in 12 rounds, can throw hands with anybody. And I actually believe at 40, he's a better physical specimen than the kid Thurman. I got to tell you, that's straight up. And Freddie thinks so too. I said that before I interviewed Freddie, that I thought he's dealing, this kid is very good, Thurman, I know that. But he's dealing with a dangerous, on the other side. Pacquiao is very dangerous.
Well, Pacquiao is so elusive and awkward and difficult to get a hold of. He changes his plan. He can change a plan in the middle of a round. He's got a great corner. Listen, Thurman's 2-time world champion. He's undefeated. He's never tasted defeat before. So we're going to see a great fight from him, too. I think Manny Pacquiao's going to get to his body. He's a more of a complete guy. He's awkward. He throws punches from different angles. Thurman's going to have a hard time dealing with that unless he's done his own work. And I think right now, me looking at it, I think that Manny Pacquiao has a better corner than Keith Thurman does, even though Keith Thurman's guy's been around him for a while. Listen, I love the two guys. I love the fight. That's why I'm here. It's a pick'em fight, 50-50 fight to me.
I agree.
And I'm so excited that we're going to get one of those fights instead of a Pacquiao Mayweather. This is a fight that everyone's
going to... You and I were at Pacquiao Broner. I thought it was awful.
Pacquiao Mayweather, you think, right?
No, that was the worst fight I ever saw. But when he fought Broner a few months ago, we were there. I had more fun fighting with my wife on the phone.
Well, yeah, you know, Broner fights like 30 seconds a round. He was trying to survive. You know, in order to look good, you got to fight back. And Manny Pacquiao couldn't look good because Broner was like playing that slick game.
Are you surprised, Jerry Cooney with us, legend, do you find any surprise at all that he's still doing this at 40, as sharp as he is?
You know, I think he has a love for the Philippines. From what I understand, thousands and thousands of people are on the streets when he leaves his house every day, and he's giving them money. Listen, here's a story. You give a man a fish, you teach him for a day. You teach him how to fish, you feed him for life. He's got to get that. And he loves this game still, I think. He's motivated. He doesn't, listen, the winner moves on. The loser goes home. So Manny Pacquiao, in order for him to go on, he's got to win this fight tonight.
Do you think that he'll call out Mayweather and it'll have any effect at all on Floyd to fight again?
I don't think. I think he wants to fight Terrence Crawford, or the winner of Terrence Crawford. Gosh, what's the kid's name? Errol Spence.
Yeah, well, both of those guys are super
dangerous. They're two great fighters. I think Errol Spence is a complete welterweight, real welterweight.
We were at that fight. He kicked Mikey's ass.
Unbelievable. He just couldn't do anything with him.
Did you like that scene in Dallas? You liked the fights there?
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed. I wish he was going to have a better fight, but he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything with Errol Spence. Couldn't do anything. Errol Spence opened up on him, and listen, to his favor, he fought back. He kept fighting back. Mikey Garcia did, but he's too big of a Errol Spence.
I still think Mikey's a great fighter.
He is at 140, 135.
He's too big.
He should have fought Lomachenko first, and then moved up to fight Errol Spence if that would have happened.
So how's the show going?
Listen, we're having a great time. We're talking. What I love best is boxing, and we're talking about the game. I know all the fighters. I know how to break down the styles. And 99.9% of the time, I'm right. And this is one of those fights that's still like a pick 'em fight for me. I'm starting to lean towards.
Do you think you and I have done this longer than everybody in these rooms? Like, honestly, we've been coming to these fights for so long. I told someone today, I feel like I'm the godfather of this thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, we've been in the game. I've been in the game for 45 years now. I mean, it's been a long time. So, listen, I love it. Boxing is getting really good again. For a while, it sucked. Now it's getting strong again. I'm excited to be a part of it and to talk about it every day.
Well, so the book hit the shelves when?
3 weeks ago.
Is it rocking? Already New York Times bestseller.
No, rocking good. BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. You can get it in your local bookstores. It's a great read, and it's about a success story, about people struggle in life, but what do you do with that? Do you pick up your pants and move on and get the information to turn the page and get on with your life? That's what I did, and that's what the story in the book's about.
I love you. It's always good to see you.
Yeah. Love you too, brother. Thank you.
Man. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Thank you, baby.
Jerry Cooney, a gentleman, a scholar, a leader of men, 31 years off of the sauce, and he still wants to punch Pharrell in the gut. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.